welcome to Agency of the Month, brought to you by Harris Caprock. Reliability never reached so far on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We're proud to present this month's agency, DISA.
Welcome to the program. I'm Lauren Larson. My guests are Mr. Dave Bennett, Chief Information Officer, and Ms. Julie Mintz, Project Manager for the DoD Enterprise Cloud Service Broker Project Management Office at the Defense Information Systems Agency. Welcome to you both. Tell me about the Cloud Broker service and where you are in the project.
The Cloud Broker project reached initial operational capability earlier this year. We are up and operational, matching customers with commercial cloud capabilities. Our focus to date has been on qualifying commercial cloud services, assessing the security requirements needed for secure use by DoD customers of those capabilities, and taking capabilities that have gone through FedRAMP compliance, assessing them, and making them available for customer use.
Tell me about the roadmap to initial and full operational.
So we've been working a whole series of activities associated with the cloud broker. So the cloud security model, identifying the security controls, and the integration with the situational awareness environment of the department is one aspect. Working contracting considerations needed for appropriate use of cloud services in cases where the terms of service of the providers that they offer their commercial customers are not appropriate for government or DoD use, working those aspects. And then also capturing the requirements from the customers and working the request process. So to get to our full operational capability, what we want to focus on is validating more and more commercial capabilities against that cloud security model and automating the processes of the request process.
Can you give me an idea of the validation process and what that involves?
Yes. What we do is review the FedRAMP artifacts that have been provided to the FedRAMP program, also review a set of controls above and beyond those required by FedRAMP. The DISA Field Security Operations performs an assessment and goes through interacting with the cloud service provider to make sure that we understand how they implement those controls.
Commercial cloud's not new. Obviously, you've got folks like Amazon and Google who've been out there doing it for a long time. Providing a cloud service is probably not necessarily one of those difficult things to do, if you will. But from a DoD perspective, you know, this is really the first time we've played in this space. And so a lot of what we're having to work through right now is just figuring out what's the most effective and efficient way to interact with the commercial vendors to offer a capability that we can look at and understand on behalf of DoD, and then try to figure out how we match what our DoD customers are looking for relative to what the commercial vendors can provide. And so a lot of this stuff we're trying to figure out as we go along. You know, there's no magic book out there that you can just open up to page 14 and get the answer to the question. So a lot of the time, a lot of the things that Julie was just talking about, a lot of that is figured out just through dialogue with the vendors, dialogue with the customers, and getting to understand what the art of the possible is, and then what are the level of risk you're willing to accept associated with the capability. So her comment about the FedRAMP, understanding the FedRAMP characteristics, that's key just to make sure we understand what the risks are from our perspective in terms of being able to secure the information and understand what type of security attributes are associated with the capabilities and that sort of stuff.
And a lot of it is focused on getting an understanding of how those commercial providers are offering the capabilities, because we understand that they are very technologically advanced. They're doing things in creative ways that may not be the traditional DoD way. So one of the things that we're trying to do is learn from them and gain a greater understanding of the various implementations that they provide so that we can assess the risk of using them without imposing DoD-specific implementations on them.
And what does that relationship look like?
Right, so we have a cloud security model that's posted publicly before it got approved. The initial version, it was made available for industry feedback. There's a draft out there right now of version 2.0, which we had a technical interchange meeting with industry participation because we want to make sure that it's understood by them and that they can communicate how they can or cannot meet the controls and the requirements. We want a complete common understanding between DoD and the providers of what the requirements are so that we don't apply over control, you know, tell them how to do it as opposed to what needs to be done. So it's to date been a good two-way learning experience with a lot of communication. The provider's been very open with us, and we've worked hard to try to understand their perspectives.
And I think the documents and the standards controls we put in place are really going to be living documents, because being new in this space in terms of working with commercial vendors, that sort of stuff, commercial cloud, some cases it's a matter of we don't always know what we don't know right now. As we learn things, we want to be able to update the standards, update the controls, update what our way ahead is going to be, so that we're staying abreast of where industry is, as well as we get more comfortable in the space, how do our risk postures change? What are we willing to accept more risk on or not accept more risk on? And so we want to be able to evolve our model, evolve our standards as we get more experience in the space.
And how do you assess risk of those products?
So it's a multiple part process, and we're looking at it from two different perspectives. So one is the risk to the enterprise, and the other is to the risk to specific mission owners for their particular mission. The process right now is we do an assessment based on the controls and the integration with the DoD situational awareness that goes up for broader community coordination review, and something called a DoD provisional authorization is granted for what we call the container. So that's the basic capability. Then each mission owner's designated approving authority grants an authority to operate based on the type of data that they want to place in that container and the overall risk to their mission. So they understand the security implementation, how it is monitored, what the status is, and then they have to draw their own conclusions about the appropriate level of risk.
With technology changing as fast as it does, how do you keep up?
So I think that is the biggest challenge to us is taking existing information assurance experts and having them look at rapidly changing, quickly evolving technology that's provided in many different implementations. So that coordination, two-way interaction with the providers, is not just a paper review. It's digging deeper after you ask one question. It's following up based on the specific implementation. It's the way that we try to make our processes better, get smarter, keep current, but it is a challenge.
So part of that is really about trying to come at this from a new perspective. I mean, we understand accepting risk and what the risks are within the DoD boundaries, if you will, in terms of how we provide capability to existing customers. But going into the commercial space, we've tried to look at it from a different perspective, sort of fresh set of eyes. What are the real risks associated with that? Where are we willing to accept more risk versus less risk? What are the immutable thou shalt not sort of do's? And then what are the things that, hey, really is not a showstopper from our perspective, which is a slightly different viewpoint from what we've done in the past. And so as we go down that road and we look at it from that perspective, I think one of the key areas that we're focusing on from a risk perspective is really the level of risk associated with data. Because at the end of the day, the real question becomes, what sort of impact would it have if something happened to the data itself? How the capability is hosted or how performant the hosting service is are good data points. But at the end of the day, that's not really the thing that keeps people up at night. It's more about what data would you lose, what data would you be concerned about having compromised, that sort of stuff. So we looked at it from a risk perspective, really focused on allocating risk by different types of data, and basically then looked at how would we deal with the commercial vendors, the cloud providers, in the sense of what data would we be less worried about hosting in a fully commercial space versus some things that, you know, this is really too sensitive or too much of a risk that under certain circumstances we would not want to put into a commercial space and we would retain within the DoD boundary, if you will. Looking at that from a variety of ways to figure out how do we balance those two things.
We'll take a short break now. You're listening to Agency of the Month on Federal News Radio. My guests are Mr. David Bennett, Chief Information Officer, and Ms. Julie Mintz, Project Manager for the DoD Enterprise Cloud Service Broker Project Management Office at the Defense Information Systems Agency.
In today's government environment, priorities change on a dime, so government customers need a telecommunications provider that can change at the same pace. Harris Caprock has plenty of bright ideas about how to make that happen. Ideas that enable agility, ideas that ensure resiliency, ideas that increase cost effectiveness. Harris Caprock tailors telecommunication solutions around customer needs instead of forcing customers' requirements into standard service offerings. They've delivered telecommunications to more than 1,000 government locations in the U.S. Harris Caprock's extensive network connects 60-plus major Department of Defense locations with speeds up to 100G. Their capabilities extend even further around the world with a robust global backbone network spanning 23 countries. Harris Caprock specializes in engineering affordable solutions that provide rapid connectivity. To learn more, visit harriscaprock.com/brightideas. harriscaprock.com/brightideas.
Welcome back to Agency of the Month on Federal News Radio. My guests are Mr. David Bennett, Chief Information Officer, and Ms. Julie Mintz, Project Manager for the DoD Enterprise Cloud Service Broker Project Management Office at the Defense Information Systems Agency.
So this is also a provider of cloud services to DoD. At the same time, they're an independent broker of outside cloud services. Seems like a conflict of interest on the surface. How do you mitigate that?
So this is a pretty big organization. My job as the Director of Enterprise Services and the CIO is really I'm providing IT to the agency, and at the same time, I'm providing capability that supports the Department of Defense. So under one hat, I'm producing capability. On the other hat, I'm a consumer of the capability I produce. In this cloud broker scenario, it's not too dissimilar from that. The real question becomes, where's the right place to leverage the capability? What are the capabilities we internal to DISA want to consume? How do we want to consume that? And for those things that are DISA functionalities, we're going to be just like any other customer of the cloud broker scenario, and we're going to be looking to push some of our own stuff into this cloud broker scenario. So from that perspective, I'm a customer of the service just like any other service component is. Now, on the other hand, from providing the service perspective, we do have to take a look at that and understand what are the capabilities that can be provided by the commercial provider and what do we have internal to the agency. Not so much that we have an overlap in terms of capability and functionality, but how do we do things so that we're complementary to each other. So the reality can be, as we're going forward, that for those things that are truly a commercial cloud provider scenario where the risk is at the appropriate level, we would want to leverage that fully and not necessarily compete with that commercial provider for that function. Because then that gives us the opportunity to focus our resources and activities on the things that we know aren't going to be able to go into that cloud provider scenario simply because of the risk or the type of data that we'd be dealing with. So we're not really trying to be the king of the hill here. I think we're really trying to figure out what's a complementary implementation strategy that supports DoD at large and on behalf of DoD. But at the same time, I'm looking at it from, I want to be a consumer of it just like anybody else. So I'm sort of looking at it to ensure that while it supports the DoD, it's also something that is consumable in a very easily consumed way so that I can do other things and leverage the capability, hopefully at a price that's reasonable and gives us the capability we're looking for.
How are they developing systems or processes to quickly turn around requests for cloud services from DoD elements, and what kind of cycle times are they envisioning to fulfill those requests?
So right now, the cycle time for actually handling a request is not that long. To understand what the customers are looking for, to match them with available services, to provide them with the information about what their possible options are, is a matter of weeks. The hard part in the near term is for people to put those capabilities under contract. We're still working some of the issues about those contracting considerations to make sure the terms of service are appropriate for use by the DoD customers. And also, it's not seamless from the funding and billing perspectives. We haven't yet gotten where it's as easy as just, you know, giving your credit card to an Amazon or a Google and they're immediately provisioning you, because of the way DoD and the government handles the pass-through of money. It's a more bureaucratic process, which is not directly linked to the cloud broker, but it's part of the success cycle for getting from a customer request for them being able to be running using the commercial services. So we are working some of those barriers to end-to-end satisfaction and trying to make the process changes necessary so that ultimately customers can have that immediate gratification that they're looking for.
We're really on the front edge of putting this capability in place. And so while we're working through the business processes of figuring out how to manage the risk, how to work the financial pieces of it and contractual pieces, et cetera, there's also a responsibility on the commercial cloud provider side as well to get qualified. In other words, to have gone through the process to validate that they're qualified at the appropriate level, that their security controls are at the appropriate level. So right now, that playing field of validated providers is extremely small, and there are some that are going through the process right now. We really don't have a large pool of qualified partners, if you will, that we could very quickly match up what their capabilities are against what the customer needs are. Now, that's not saying we won't get there. It's just, again, where we are in the process of just getting this thing rolling, if you will. It's sort of like priming the pump, if you will. You got to do a couple of things first to get it up and running, and I think that's really where we're at in this phase in terms of working through those details regarding how do you bill, how do you contract, what vendors have gone through and are fully certified and ready to go. And I think as we get those pieces in place, that's really where you'll start to see the things starting to click and a fairly quick response to a customer request coming in saying, I would like to host X capability, and how quickly can we turn that and marry that up with viable providers and say, okay, here's the world of potential providers that you can interact with and set up that capability.
Can you give me an idea of what that process of matching them up will be like once things are fully rolling?
Right now we have a cloud service request form that's available from the DoD Cloud Broker website. People fill that out. Our technical team takes a look at it, compares what the customer is looking for against the available offerings, which includes both DoD-hosted offerings as well as the commercial ones that have completed that DoD provisional authorization process. We provide back to the customer a matrix showing how what they wanted matches up with what's available. In cases where there is nothing available or there's some other concerns, we also let them know what their options are in terms of either getting a waiver or aware of something that's coming down the pike fairly soon or offering them alternatives for getting the capability that they need. After we communicate back to them what's available that might meet their needs or what their other options are, we then work with them on whatever their desired way ahead is. Our near-term plan is not to point them to a single offering. You talked about earlier about the possible conflict between DISA as a cloud broker and a cloud service provider. We are not telling people this is the one capability that you must use. What we're doing is telling them here's how what your needs are match up against what's available, and then the ultimate decision as to how to proceed is up to them.
My guests are Mr. David Bennett, Chief Information Officer, and Ms. Julie Mintz, Project Manager for the DoD Enterprise Cloud Service Broker Project Management Office at the Defense Information Systems Agency.
There was mention of an effort to create cloud security requirements that go beyond the new FedRAMP structure, was referred to as essentially FedRAMP Plus.
Right, so we refer to that as the DoD Beyond FedRAMP requirements. So FedRAMP is kind of the floor for what we need. FedRAMP compliance is the basis of DoD being able to leverage those cloud services. We don't repeat the FedRAMP assessment, but we do have our security team review the FedRAMP artifacts. And then there's a set of controls that are related to the Committee on National Security Systems Instruction 1253 that we apply on top of the FedRAMP NIST-based controls. And as I mentioned earlier, we also assess the integration with the DoD situational awareness and command and control reporting as appropriate. So it's an additional set of controls on top of what's in FedRAMP that's synced up with DoD policy. Hopefully over time we can kind of converge our additional requirements with FedRAMP to the maximum extent possible so that there's minimal additional assessment required for the providers. In some cases, what the deltas are reporting frequency. So FedRAMP may say you have to provide a report once a month, and DoD wants it once a week. So if the providers are aware of that requirement up front, it's not that difficult for them to ensure as they enter the FedRAMP process that they're meeting the bulk of the DoD requirements. The goal is not to make it overly burdensome.
So I did want to ask, because I know we're going to talk about JIE and as a full segment of the show. So to kind of lead into that, I just wanted to hear how this fits into that bigger picture.
We're working that integration, that coordination right now. The goal is definitely that when people are making the choice about where to host something, it's an integrated approach as to whether it's going in a core data center, it's going in commercial cloud, that coming to the cloud broker doesn't mean you're in violation of JIE policies. So we're working with the DoD CIO and the JIE teams right now to ensure that that's an integrated view. The DoD customers have clear understanding of what the roadmap is.
I think they're complementary activities from the standpoint of when you start looking at the data, and again, it really goes back to the data. In the early instances of this, trying to figure out what are those things that, from a risk perspective, people are willing to put in the commercial space, et cetera. You know, there's a lot of this that you could put into the commercial cloud, and at the same time, you would have other functionality that would be the stuff that you would retain inside the DoD walls, if you will. That would be the functionality and the data that's a little more sensitive that you would want to make sure that you're hosting within a core data centers within DoD to make sure you're leveraging the enhanced security safeguards and other things like that. It becomes sort of a where's your risk, and what's the functionality, the capability that you're talking about? What would be appropriate to move into the commercial cloud space versus what are those things you want to put within the core data centers under a JIE construct? So they're complementary and are dovetailing together. I don't think they're redundant in any way, but I just think it really comes down to looking at the specifics associated with the capability or data and figure out where's the appropriate place that capability needs to reside.
That's all we have time for today. I want to thank my guests, Mr. David Bennett, Chief Information Officer, and Ms. Julie Mintz, Project Manager for the DoD Enterprise Cloud Service Broker Project Management Office at the Defense Information Systems Agency. I'm Lauren Larson. You've been listening to Agency of the Month on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
You've been listening to the Agency of the Month, brought to you by Harris Caprock. Reliability never reached so far on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Agency of the Month, Thursday mornings at 10 AM, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. WFED, your source for federal news now.